Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Norma Mintz, and today we will be studying Daniel Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. With Sefer Daniel, we enter a biblical world that is different from most others, as it is written entirely in exile. In the famous Gemara of Bava Baktra 14b, in which the authors of the books of Tanakh are listed, the book of Daniel is attributed to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, or the Great Assembly. This attribution is somewhat surprising. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was established in the time of Ezra as a religious governing body. Ezra, whom we will encounter in the next Sefer of Tanakh, lived in the second temple period, the time period that follows the Babylonian exile, which is the time period of our Sefer, Daniel. Rashi addresses this question on the Daf in Bava Baktra, as the Gemara lists that the Great Assembly authored Yechezkel, Sheyasar, Daniel, and Esther. Rashi expresses surprise that Yechezkel, for instance, was not attributed to Yechezkel himself. But he then answers that since much of the Sefer was written in Galut in exile, and prophecy was forbidden to be written in exile, the content of the Sefer was apparently passed down in some form, but not formally written until the return to Israel in the Second Temple period. As such, though Treyasar is somewhat more complicated, Daniel and Esther, both of which similarly took place in exile, may have been initiated and formed by their namesakes, but they were formally written and established by the Great Assembly. So the first perek of Daniel begins. Bishnat shalosh lemachut Yehoyakim melech Yehuda, ba Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel Yerushalayim ve'yatzar leha. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. The parak opens in the midst of Jehoiakim and Nebuchadnezzar's struggle for power. Jehoiakim, king of Yehuda, had originally been put in power by Paro Necho, the king of Egypt, or Mitzrayim. Babel and Mitzrayim had been competing empires following the fall of Ashur. And after Babel triumphed over Mitzrayim, Nebuchadnezzar targeted the Egyptian colonies, such as Malchut Yehuda. After a few years, Jehoiakim resisted Babel's takeover, and as the Sefer opens, it describes Nebuchadnezzar's siege of Yerushalayim. However, while the first pasuk seems to give us historical framing for the Sefer, it actually raises a question. In Yirmiyahu Perek 25, we learn that Nebuchadnezzar first rises to power in the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign. But this pasuk seems to say that he besieges Jehoiakim in the third year of his reign. While a number of Mefarshim understand this pasuk as a function of different dating systems, Rashi explains that this was actually the third year of Jehoiakim's attempt to free himself from Nebuchadnezzar's reign. For 3 years, Jehoiakim began a quiet rebellion, abstaining from paying his taxes to the Babylonian Empire. And Nebuchadnezzar takes action against this insurrection in the 11th and final year of Jehoiakim's reign, and Rashi understands that to be the date of this pasuk. As such, it is interesting to note that while this perek takes place in exile, it is still prior to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the more complete exile of the nation of Yehuda. Following the deposition of Jehoiakim, his son Jehoiachin becomes king, though he will only reign for 3 months before he is imprisoned by Nebuchadnezzar. During this time, Nebuchadnezzar exiles all those connected to the monarchy and the aristocracy, with only the poor lower class remaining in Yerushalayim. Pasuk Bet reminds us, as we have seen in both Malachim and Yirmiyahu, that while this turn of events is sad and it's tragic, it is part of Hashem's plan. The pasuk states, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Yehuda, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God. And he carried them into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and the vessels he brought into the treasure house of his God." The primary plot of this perek takes place in Psukim Gimel through Yudzayin, 3 through 17. We find that Nebuchadnezzar is interested in recruiting for his palace the best and the brightest among the Judean exiles. Pasuk Dalet reads, ילדים אשר אין בהם כל מאום, וטובי מראה ומשכילים בכל חוכמה, ויודעי דעת ומביני מדע, ואשר כוח בהם לעמוד בהיכל המלך, וללמדם ספר ולשון כסדים. נבוכנצר סיקס, quote, youths in whom there was no blemish, but fair to look on, and skillful in all wisdom, and skillful in knowledge, and discerning in thought, and such as had the ability to stand in the king's palace, and that he should teach them the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. In this manner, it is clear that this exile is very different from that which we saw earlier, when Ashur, or Assyria, exiled the 10 tribes of Israel. Assyria's strategy was to disperse their enemies, bringing about their assimilation and destabilization. This accounts in part for what we sometimes call the 10 lost tribes. Nebuchadnezzar's strategy is entirely different. He looks to his exiles and searches among the children of the elite, thus integrating the exiles into his nation and using its talents to his own benefit. As such, he also hopes to assimilate the next generation, steeping them in Babylonian culture for 3 years as they learn the Chaldean language and the world of a Babylonian aristocrat. Among these appointees are 4 named individuals: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. In keeping with the goal of assimilation, they are each given Babylonian names that are rooted in the names of Babylonian gods. Daniel becomes Belshazzar, Hananiah becomes Shadrach, Mishael becomes Meshach, and Azariah becomes Abednego. As for whether Nebuchadnezzar succeeds in assimilating these youths, that is another story. Nebuchadnezzar arranges for the youths of his palace to be fed wine and what is called in the pasuk patbag, according to the text. This patbag may be a bread-like food, as the Aramaic word pat suggests, or it may be a general term for kingly delicacies that were seen as conducive for ideal development, as the Malbim understands it. Whatever its exact definition, we first learn about the character of Daniel in his reaction to this food. While the text never explicitly says that it is not kosher, Daniel is determined not to defile himself with this forbidden food. The Gemara Avodah Zarah 36a explains that Daniel abstained from partaking in the bread, wine, and oil of non-Jews even before the formal established rabbinic decree of the students of Hillel and Shammai. Rav Yaakov Meidan explains that this is a direct result of Daniel's understanding that Nebuchadnezzar's goal was that of assimilation. Accordingly, Daniel erected fences for himself to safeguard his religious sensibilities. And so, while the chief of the officers is initially afraid that he will be killed for disobeying Nebuchadnezzar's directive to feed the training youth heartily, Daniel arranges for his friends and for him to receive zar'onim, some plant-based food, possibly legumes according to Rashi, for a 10-day trial. After the 10 days, rather than looking weak and pale, as the chief officer feared, they miraculously look even healthier and fatter than the others. As an interesting side note, some evangelical Protestant communities have apparently established a practice called the Daniel Fast, based upon this story in our parak. They engage in a vegan diet for at least 10 days to help restore the spirit and body. While there is certainly nothing objectionable to this practice, as we will see in the continuation of Daniel, it is clear that the Sefer is not actually trying to prescribe an actual diet that causes one to be stronger. Instead, the especially healthy growth and the development of these 4 youths is the first of many unnatural miracles, that will be performed for Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in response to their piety. That said, as a mother of someone who was vegan for a number of years, I am neither condoning nor condemning any such diet. You know, as they say, you do you. So for the remainder of the 3-year period, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah successfully follow their modified diet, and they ultimately emerge as the brightest and the most knowledgeable. They distinguish themselves both among the other children that had undergone their training and among Nebuchadnezzar's sorcerers. The text also makes note that Daniel has the ability to understand dreams, and that he would remain a fixture in the palace through multiple kings, including through the days of Cyrus. Cyrus, also known in Hebrew as Koresh, will be significant, as his Edict of Restoration will bring about the return to Zion, the period during which the Second Temple will be rebuilt. Before we conclude, we must make note of a striking parallel that emerges in this parak. Daniel is what we call a Yehudi b'chatzer hamelech, a Jew in the courtyard of the king. He is notably good-looking and intelligent. He finds favor in the eyes of his masters. He shows allegiance to God, and he is particularly talented at interpreting dreams. Does this sound at all familiar? It certainly should. There is no question that Daniel is framed with Yosef in his background, Joseph, as the paradigm for what it means to be a pious Jew living in exile. In fact, there are a number of linguistic similarities to the Yosef story in addition to these conceptual similarities. And yet, as we move forward in our learning, we will find meaning not only in the ways that Daniel is like Yosef, but in the ways that he diverges from Yosef's path and forges his own. Today, we learn the first perek of Sefer Daniel, encountering the figure of Daniel, who was taken from his home and placed under the tutelage of the Babylonian elite. In that context, he and his compatriots Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah stand firm in the face of assimilation, safeguarding themselves from the dangers of outside influences, while also proving themselves to be clever and essential members of the Babylonian government. We will continue to learn about these important individuals in the coming prakim. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther Bat Zvi Yosef.